Well, tonight we want to continue. We've been talking about the sevenfold spirit, the tabernacle of David, and the witnessing of the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24:14, I will read it later too, says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached," or witnessed, "to every nation as a witness, then the end will come." Now, I've been teaching on this for a long time, what it is and what's the gospel of the kingdom, but I want to talk about tonight some other things that occur in Matthew 24 earlier. Now, we have been looking the last couple of times at the outpouring of the sevenfold spirit. Seven is the number for completion, perfection. So, the sevenfold spirit that is spoken of in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, and Revelation 5, and Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 is probably the most important definition of the seven parts of the sevenfold spirit, but it's all one. It's all one. It's total unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when John saw into heaven, he saw Jesus, who had perfected power, sevenfold power, and perfected knowledge. See, what God is moving us towards perfection, completion of all of His works in our lives. We are gradually moving closer. I mean, we are not going to be perfect in the sense that we think of perfect. We think of perfect that we can no longer sin. Now, God, of course, can't sin. Jesus could have as a man, but He didn't. As God, no. And the Holy Spirit, no. But the sevenfold spirit is the perfection, not only, this is what's coming, it hasn't occurred fully yet. It's begun, but it hasn't finished. It's the perfection of the entire body of Christ, all of the believers, all over the world. Some are going to fall away. That's what I'm coming to next in the teaching tonight. What is the apostasy? And what does the apostasy or falling away have to do with the perfection of the body of Christ? Basically, it has to do with the perfection of the body of Christ in this way. God, through the Holy Spirit, is calling His people to completely be saved, be baptized in the Spirit, and move into a unity and a harmony, a completion of the body of Christ. As Jesus comes back the second time, that's when it will be complete. Where there is an outpouring of the Spirit of God, bringing the greatest revival. So God is going to unify all of the believers, but those who will not follow Him fully will become apostates and fall away. In other words, the body is going to be cleansed, because people who will not come all of the way with Jesus, both individually and what God wants to do collectively with the entire body, will fall away. It's a way that God will have to cleanse and complete the church. For the church, as we saw a couple of Saturdays ago, in the book of Ezekiel, I mean, there is the four wheels are the symbol of the true church. They unite with the cherubim and the seraphim in heaven. And there is a total unity of the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the church. And finally, the whole church is unified. I mean, I've said before when I've mentioned this, I think the greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracles that could occur, is that the church all around the world, the apostates will fall away, but the true church will remain. And they will be totally unified. I mean, we can't get one church unified. We can't get one congregation unified. Men can't produce unity. Only the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit directly. Only the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the angelic forces and the church and the part of the church that is totally unified, totally purified. I mean, Yom Kippur in the Hebrew tradition was a teaching of the purification of all of Israel. The father searched with a candle, symbolically looking for things that had to be removed from the home to bring holiness to the home, so that this unity and this purity will then produce the perfected power and the power that flows from heaven down onto the earth. Then the gospel of the kingdom will be preached by this perfected, unified, purified group of people. Now, Satan knows some of what God is going to do and actually believes that he can defeat God. He rebelled. He was the angel that rebelled against God, Lucifer, Lightbringer. And before he fell, he was one of the most beautiful of the angels. But he rebelled. See, atheism is not the main threat. Rebellion. Satan wasn't an atheist. He knew God existed, but he was defiant. This is what's coming. Not atheists. Atheists are not the great threat. It's mainly PhDs, intellectuals who think they're smart that are atheists. And atheism is one of the stupidest things you could... I mean, Paul says, all you have to do is look at the creation, and you know there's a God. You know it. Deep within you know there's a God. All you have to look at what he created in Romans 1. And then God gives them over because they refuse to believe. They rebel. He gives them over to a reprobate mind. So that's why they commit adultery and have all of the, and commit the sins and deliberately commit sins. And I mean, Satanists who worship Satan promise to commit the seven deadly sins of that the Catholic Church names as sins. They promise to commit them in an act of rebellion. So, this great movement of God, this great revelation of the sevenfold spirit that's going to increase and increase until you have total unity, total purity, and total empowerment, waiting for the return of Jesus. But the body of Christ will be active through the Holy Spirit before the actual physical return. And the Father only knows when Jesus is coming. Jesus, it says in the Scripture, doesn't know when he's coming back the second time. The Father knows. And the Father knows, listen, God acts in exactly the right time. I shared with Lori when I prayed for her to be baptized in the Holy Spirit here on Friday, that God, in the first Pentecost, part of Pentecost means 50th, and when the Ten Commandments were given, that's the first Jewish Pentecost, it was on the 50th day, after they came through the Red Sea. Then in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when the New Testament church was born, and the Holy Spirit was sent so that the disciples could be baptized in the Holy Spirit, purified and empowered individually, and these New Testament church was created, that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 was on the 50th day after Jesus was raised from the grave. God is never late. I mean, he is exactly on time. And so the revelation and the outpouring of the sevenfold spirit and the time that Jesus returns to complete all of this to defeat Satan and cast Satan into hell and hell into the lake of fire will come exactly at the right time. Now, Matthew 24:10 is the next verse that I want you to look with me. As usual tonight, we will go on a lot of scripture. My teaching is never on one portion of Scripture, but on a lot of Scripture. Matthew 24:10. And at that time, by the way, the time of the birth pangs, the second birthing of Christ, there's going to be, well, what does a woman go through before birth? A lot of tribulation and pain. very, very intense tribulation and pain. And so the world, before Jesus is birthed on the earth, will go through unprecedented, we will never have seen anything like it, unprecedented tribulation, that's oppressing pressure of Satan on our spirits, our souls, our bodies, trying to get Christians to denounce Christ, to quit following Christ, because many Christians will be martyred, many Jews will be martyred. There'll be tremendous pressure, unprecedented persecution of Christians and Jews. There's coming a greater persecution of Christians and Jews. By the way, Christians and Jews have been persecuted since the beginning of Christianity and the beginning of Judaism. God's people have always been persecuted by the world because of the Antichrist spirit, anti who Jesus is. They hate Jesus. They hate the Word because they know that it means their, Satan knows it means his destruction. I mean, there's no question about who wins this battle. I mean, God has declared victory before the battle ever starts. And so, remember, we win. Now, you will be hated by all nations in verse 9. Tribulation, you'll be hated by all nations. You're hated by all nations on account of my name, on account of Jesus' name. Listen, the further you go, the deeper you go with Christ, the more you'll be hated by the world. It's true. Some Christians try to make it different, try to say it's going to be different. That is a spirit of Antichrist that's inside the church now. And that Antichrist spirit that resists what the Scripture says about what's going to happen. Because what Scripture says, I mean, every word will come to pass. Every word. And at that time, many will fall away. The Greek word is scandaliso, and it sometimes is translated offended. That's not a very good translation. I don't know what your Bible says there, but offended is not strong enough. It means to stumble. It means to sin. It means to fall away from. Jesus, is my translation says, will fall away. There are Christian denominations and Christians who teach, once saved, always saved. You can't fall away. Well, I've got news for you. God will never leave you, but you can leave Him. You can leave Him. And many will. I'll read a portion of 2 Thessalonians here in a moment to show you that this is true. And it's very important. It's very important. Many will fall away and deliver one another and hate one another. Now turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Listen, you must pay attention to what Paul is saying here. Many Christians are going to be deceived if they do not understand what Paul is saying, and it's pretty clear what he's saying. There are the two greatest things that will show us that Jesus is coming is the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. I read that or quoted that earlier. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to every nation. That's the greatest prophecy indicating Jesus is about to come. The other is what I'm about to read. So let me read it. It is a description of the apostasy, which literally, this is a different Greek word than scandaliso, it's another Greek word, but it literally means to fall away from. Something you are in, you fall away from. I hear people who believe once saved, always saved. Well, if they fell away, they weren't really in Christ. But you don't know that. I don't know about you. You don't know about me. You don't know about any other Christian whether they're in Christ. Only God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can reveal to you whether you're in Christ. But you can't say whether someone else. I accept when you tell me you're a Christian, I accept that. But that's not your judgment. Jesus will tell you. Jesus will give you. And you know whether you've come to be born again or not. Now listen to what this says. Now we request you, brethren. This is verse 1, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. Listen. With regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus and our gathering together with Him. Listen. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ a second time is one of the most important teachings in the entire Bible. I mean, why did Jesus come the first time? It says in 1 John, Jesus was manifested to destroy the power of the devil. In Hebrews 2, it says Jesus was manifested to destroy the devil himself. So Jesus came as high king and high priest, crowned by the Father, to defeat and destroy the power of the devil and the devil. But the mission is not complete until He comes the second time. Because the first time, He died as a man, was raised, resurrection life, 40 days on the earth, went to the right hand of the Father, sent the Holy Spirit down on the earth in Acts chapter 2 to baptize the church in the Holy Spirit. Back, He said, when I go back to the right hand of the Father, it'll be better because I'll send the Holy Spirit and you can be baptized in the Spirit and you can do my work. You'll do my works and greater works. That's what you and I are supposed to do. The church hasn't been taught that. But that's what you and I are supposed to do, the works of Jesus. You can't do them, but in Christ, under the Holy Spirit, if you have given your life to Christ, you can do them, or Jesus can do better yet. Jesus can do them through you. When I prayed for Lori, or I pray for anyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I don't baptize anyone in the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. But I can be a channel. I don't heal anyone, but Jesus heals them. None of us do anything except to obey. Yes, sir, Lord. I will do that. Whatever you say, that's what I will do. And I will speak, and I will act. And that's what God wants you to do. So, back to verse 1 here. Listen, pay attention to the coming of the Lord Jesus the second time. The Antichrist spirit. Well, let me read it. That you may, verse 2, may not be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed either by a spirit. This is a demon spirit. Or a message or a letter as if to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Okay. Now you may not be aware of it, but there is such a thing as post-millennialism taught in some seminaries. There's premillennialism and post-millennialism. These are academic terms. By the way, Satan has worked through intellectuals more than any other group. Intellectuals. Not the average person. Intellectuals. People who think they're smart. People who think they know God. People who define God and think that God is a myth. I mean, intellectuals. Post-millennialism is directly out of the pit of hell. It is an antichrist teaching because if you want to use premillennialism, that's what the Bible teaches. It means Jesus comes first, first, then the kingdom is established on the earth. Jesus has to come the second time. This is true. Now listen. You're going to be deceived if you don't know that this is true. Yes, you are. You're going to be deceived if you do not know that Jesus has to come the second time before there will be world peace, before there will be the kingdom established on the earth. Now, it is true that when I pray for someone and they're saved and healed and delivered, the kingdom of God has come, but we're talking about the kingdom of God actually established throughout the world. It has to be. And so postmillennialism is an antichrist lie. It means that men on the earth, especially in the church is going to get people together, and we're all going to get together in a united organization of all the denominations, and we're going to bring world peace, and we're going to end poverty, and we're going to have our action programs. And by the way, we'll have the government help us out a little bit too. and sometimes some so-called Christians want the government to play the main role. Some of the so-called Christians in the Wall Street protests. In fact, one of the advisors of President Obama, Wallace, of Sojourners Magazine, calls himself a Christian, but he's a Marxist. He believes that Marxism and the crushing of capitalism and government control, well, then the government will take care of all the poor, and the government will produce peace and so forth. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. And how many so-called Christians are believing this? So don't be disturbed. Don't let a spirit, don't let a demon spirit that tells you that Jesus is only coming after we've established everything. We in the church down here have established everything. And by the way, that's been a teaching in the church since the 19th century, especially in seminaries. You ought to ask your pastor what he believes about this. One of the problems is that we have people in our churches who get what they believe from the pastor. No, 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 no. Don't get it from Bob Neff. Don't get it from a pastor. Get it from the Word of God. When I teach the Word of God, I want you to get into the Word of God, so the Word of God will get in you. So Jesus will get in you so that you know that you know that you know. Not because I said it, because some pastor said it, or Dr. So-and-so said it, or some evangelist said it. But you know, you know. The day of the Lord has not come. We will see, listen, you'll know it. We will see Him. Every eye will behold Him. And this is not an international television network. This is God's. God's the author of all of our electrical digital things. We think we've invented them. We've just discovered them. It's like when I first read some English history, back in early England, the Parliament was elected, but they believed that they discovered the law. When I first saw that, I thought, well, wait a minute, discovered the law? Don't you write law? Well, if it's God that writes the law, you discover it. You discover what God and how did He reveal it in the Ten Commandments. And He shouted the Ten Commandments. And they thought they were going to die. And the Ten Commandments were given, and that's the law. It's the eternal law. It's absolute. It's fixed because God fixed it. The law, the truth, is fixed by God. These people who mock God will rue the day if they do not repent, because it's an awful, awful, awful judgment coming. We don't like to talk about judgment, but there is an awful judgment, because God loves us and He wants us to repent, and He will bring judgment so we will repent, hoping that everyone will repent, knowing that not everyone will, but hoping that people will repent. So we won't have to give final judgment and cast into hell and hell into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because whether we are in Christ or in Satan and in hell, we will live forever. Punishment in hell never ends. Never ends. Let no one, verse 3, deceive you, for it will not come. This is the day of the Lord, Jesus' second coming. Now listen now. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first. The apostasy, the great falling away. Now, many have already fallen away. But there is a great falling away coming. A greater falling away coming. I believe the majority of the church will fall away. Narrow is the way. Broad is the way to destruction, Jesus said. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. The majority are not going to be saved. See, this is why men who create their own theories think they have a better way. Satan tries to teach people, well, listen, if you believe what I teach, everyone's going to be saved. There will be no hell. There's not going to be any hell. Everyone will be saved. Universalism. Yeah. The Buddhists will be saved. The Hindus will be saved. The Muslims will be saved. The Christians, don't you believe it? The only way is through the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He is the only God. All other gods are idols, demons. When people worship other religions and other gods, they are worshiping demons. Good Christians don't even know this. The apostasy must come first, and the man of sin revealed, the Antichrist himself revealed. This is a preparation for the revealing of the Antichrist, who Revelation says will control for 3.5 years at least every nation in the world. And he will claim to be a man of peace. But Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesy about false peace. What's false peace? Any peace attempted by man through his methods and through his organizations, his political or church organizations, trying to make a world organization, church organization, political organization, social organization, welfare organization, trying to bring peace, eliminate poverty. They are playing God, because only God can do that. Only the Father sending the Son can do that. Then it says the man of lawlessness. Now law is something fixed, and I said a minute ago, when the Ten Commandments were given, and God shouted them. He spoke the law into existence. And the Holy Spirit wrote on tablets of stone as he spoke it. And when you get saved and especially baptized in the Holy Spirit, God will write that law in your heart. He'll write the law of love. How we love God, first 4 commandments, and how we love our fellow man, the second 6 commandments. Don't forget that the moral law in the 10 commandments is a law of love. It is a law of love. It is a law of love. It is how God loves us and how we are to love our fellow man, because he loves us. Lawlessness. The Antichrist will be lawless. Listen now. All law originated by men and not God is lawless, an Antichrist lawless spirit. Because man created law will produce control, bondage, destruction, and death. Only God's law will set you free. Only God's law will set you free. Only God's law, the law of love, the love of Jesus, will set you free. By the way, the other statement here, lawlessness, a son of destruction. Lawlessness leads to destruction. The 20th century, I lived through much of the 20th century. I've lived now 11 years, soon to be 12, into the next century. And of course I don't remember, but I've studied the history of it. The 20th century, And the 21st will be probably worse. But I don't know how long the 21st is going to... I think Jesus will come before the end of the 21st, but I don't know. But the 20th century, I've taught on it. I've taught history. I taught world history, Western history. I taught Russian history. I taught a lot of different kinds of history. But I mean, if you just take Mao Zedong in China and Stalin in Russia, and that's not all, from 1917 to 1976, who is Mao, Stalin a little earlier, there were at least 200 million people who perished at the hands of Marxism and communism. It's incredible to me what's happening in the universities. Marxists are all over our universities. They're teaching. They're teaching lies. American history now is mainly lies. If you don't know where to go to find true American history, I'll tell you where some of the places you can go, but I can't now tonight. But I mean, you can find it. But you read the average textbook and you've got a lie. You've got one big lie. Because beginning in the 1920s, historians began to deliberately get rid of this teaching that America was a chosen nation of God, and it was. To get rid of the teaching that most of our founders were Christians, to get rid of the teaching that the Constitution and the laws of the United States were totally based on the Bible, totally based on the Bible, totally based on the Bible. Washington dedicating the nation to God, knowing they couldn't win a battle of the American Revolution. Washington wrote how often God intervened in the battles of the American Revolution with a ragtag group of volunteers with no military organization defeating the largest military, navy, and army in the entire world at the time. Impossible without God. And they knew it. And Washington and all of the founders constantly were having fasting and praying and thanking God and praising God. Constantly calling for days of fasting and prayer in the colonies, calling for days of fasting and prayer in the nation, in the new nation under Washington. The church at the corner of Ground Zero, when the two towers were destroyed, the church there that Washington dedicated the nation to God was not touched. Everything else was destroyed in the Ground Zero area. But not that. I can tell you something else, don't have time but to tell you that. Verse 4, and who opposes and exalts himself, this is the Antichrist, this is the lawless one, above every so-called God, object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. The Antichrist will claim to be God. He will claim to be God. He will demand worship. You will receive the mark of the beast. And if you don't, you won't be able to buy or sell. Checkbooks will be gone. Cash will be gone. You'll have a number here and here, subcutaneous in an electronic sense, and they'll be able to identify you. So we will need to learn how to live by faith in a more radical way, in a more radical way than we have ever known before. Verse 5, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? Jesus says to them, I was telling you about this, the disciples. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. Now, what he's talking about, what Jesus is talking about, Paul is saying, but it's from Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is not only one who purifies us, who empowers us, who sends God's power, but he restrains evil. The Holy Spirit limits evil, only lets evil go so far. See, God allows Satan to operate. He allows evil to operate, but he always puts some restraint on evil. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And lawlessness is really at work in America. And we have more and more of a lawless society. The key to a lawless society is man-made law. Not God's law, but man-made law. Man-made law brings relative law. Relative law brings confusion, error, destruction, death. And only he who restrains him will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, listen now. He, the Holy Spirit, has been restraining evil. But there will be a day, I think not too far in the future, there will be a day when the Holy Spirit will be removed as a restrainer of evil. Now, he's not going to be removed in you and I. He's going to still work in Christians. He's going to still let his love and his power flow. So this is only removing the Holy Spirit as a restrainer of evil. Verse 7, as a restrainer of evil. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. That's when the Antichrist, right when the Antichrist is revealed, he apparently comes back to life. Then there will be a temporary, I think probably 3.5 years, while the Antichrist rules. There will be a removal of the Holy Spirit to restrain evil. And I don't say this next profanely, but literally all hell will break loose on the earth. All hell will break loose on the earth. Verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed. The Antichrist himself will be revealed. With the spirit of his mouth, and bring to an end the appearance of his coming. Verse 9, we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, that is, the one who is coming in according with the activity of Satan, with all power, signs, and false wonders. Now, notice here, the Antichrist is going to produce miracles. Beware if you live at that time. You cannot depend on supernatural miracles as the test as to whether someone is of God or not. Because Satan will be allowed, and the Antichrist will be allowed, apparently to come back to life. Apparently be someone who everyone knew was dead. And will come back to life. Now, when I say this, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying this is who it's going to be, but as an illustration. I don't know any evil person in the 20th century who's been talked about, written about, photographed to movies than Hitler. Well, I mean, if Hitler came back as the Antichrist, I mean, you know, people would know. I'm not saying it's going to be Hitler now. I'm just illustrating. So. There's going to be false wonders and signs. I'm going to come to this in another way here in a few minutes. Because I'm going to come to Matthew 7, which I want you to understand. I want you to understand this. I'm trying not to go too fast. Because I want you to understand this. There's no more important teaching about the end times than right here. Verse 10, and with all deception. See, Satan is a liar and a deceiver. Clever deception. Listen, I don't want to bring you into any kind of fear. You don't have to fear, but you need to press into Jesus. You need to be saved. You need to know it. You need to be baptized in the Spirit. You need to be walking in the Spirit. You need to be walking in love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness and meekness and faithfulness and self-control. I mean, you need to know these things. And then the Holy Spirit will speak to you and you'll know what's a deception. Because the Holy Spirit is the only one, who can infallibly speak the truth to you. Because the deceptions are going to be great. And you must know this word. Know it. eat it. Devour it. Live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. See, these people who follow Satan, who believe in these false wonders and signs, who are deceived, were not in love with the truth. Now, who is the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So you must be in love with Jesus. If you're in love with Jesus and the love of Jesus is in you, then you're in love with the truth. It's the only way to know the truth. He is the only, this word is the only truth, and Jesus is the word become flesh. There's no other truth. Praise God. And for this reason, verse 11, God will send upon them those who do not love him, those who do not love him, there will be a spirit of a deluding spirit of error so that they will believe what is false. Better follow him, better fall in love with him, better walk in his love. If you don't, God will spend a spirit of error in order to deceive you so that you will believe something that is false because you have refused to believe that God exists and he is the creator and Jesus is his son. And Jesus came, and he died for you, and he was raised from the grave, and he's at the right hand, and he's coming back the second time. If you believe that, you're in love with Jesus, and you're in good shape. In order that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Listen, evil can be fun and enjoyable for a small season. Until it really grabs you and brings you into bondage, because all evil will bring you into bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus came to set us free. And the great identification between what's of the Holy Spirit will always set you free. And the demon spirits will always bring you into bondage, into destruction, and into death, to be in love with death. You love death. You'll get much of it. Now, Matthew 24, verse 11. Matthew 24, verse 11. I'm going to lead 11, 12, and 13. Now remember verse 10, we said, Jesus just said what we're talking about in 2 Thessalonians. He said, many are going to fall away. Mm-hmm. All right now, 11, 12, and 13. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. All right, you need to know how to identify false prophets. I'm going to give you the key to that here in just a moment. You need to know how to identify false prophets. They're going to abound. They're going to be everywhere. And they're going to seem to be wonderful Christians. They'll be on television. I'm not against television evangelism, by the way. I don't think all the television evangelists are evil. I think some of them are God, and some of them are God, and some are not. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased. All right, now, what is lawlessness really? I said that the Ten Commandments are the law of love. You could write in, everywhere there's a word lawless, you could write loveless. Because the Ten Commandments, the law of the Ten Commandments are a law of love. So lawlessness is lovelessness. And lovelessness means you're outside Christ and you're going to be cast into hell with Satan. Because the greatest test in John, the Gospel, and the letter of 1 John, is that you know Christ if you love him. If his agape love, eternal heavenly love, not human love, his eternal love is in you, and you by faith are releasing that perfect love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. By faith you are releasing every day. His love, His joy, His peace, His patience, His goodness, His gentleness, His meekness, His faithfulness, His self-control. Keep releasing, keep releasing, keep releasing. By faith, keep releasing. If I don't do this, then my own emotions will take control. I don't dare let my own emotions take control of my actions. That's why Christians get into trouble, why they need drugs, why they let their own emotions take control. They let circumstances take control. Jesus will take control of your circumstances and your feelings if you'll let Him. Yes, He will. I know it may not be easy, but He will. He will. He'll set you free. He'll set you free. Praise God. I love that word, freedom. Paul says, it's for freedom that I set people free. So walk in freedom. Walk in the Spirit. Praise God. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. Now, let's go to Matthew 7. Still got a little time here tonight, so we'll go to Matthew 7. I try to hold this to an hour. Usually do. Now, Matthew 7, I think, has not been well understood. But I want to read two parts with John 15 in the middle. So, let's go to Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20 first. Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets. All right, now, Jesus had been saying to us, we read it before, Matthew 24, beware of false prophets, beware of false prophets, beware, beware, false apostles, false prophets, false teachers, beware, beware. But don't sit around, oh my goodness, I don't know what to believe. I mean, get in the Word, get in the Word, act on the Word, act on the Word. Jesus will show you, Jesus will show you, He will show you. Don't be fearful. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. I'll get into it more later, but I mean, Jesus in Matthew 10 says, you know, don't fear public witness. Don't fear the unknown. Don't fear death. Just fear the second death. You know what the second death is? Don't fear death. Physical death, that's nothing. Man, we're going to be with Jesus. We're in heaven. The second death is when Satan and all of his followers are cast into hell and hell into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I've often said, if you're born twice, you will die once. If you're born once, you will die twice. You will die physically and you will die eternally, spiritually. Remember that. If you're born once, physically only, you will die twice. If you're born twice, the spiritual birth as well as the physical birth, then you have the life of Christ. You will know them by their fruits. Here is the key. Here is the key. You will know them by their fruits. Now, God has given me something that I don't know whether I've ever fully seen before. Fruit. Now, the word here is plural, fruits. But you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered on thorn bushes, are they? Nor figs and thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. If you are a tree with the roots, rooted in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and His love, and His word, and that word through His power and glory is flowing through you to touch you and to touch others, then you're going to have good fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you will know them by their fruits. Now, you will know them by their fruits. Supernatural love This is a formula that God gave me today. Supernatural love of Jesus in you, flowing through you, will produce supernatural gifting. And supernatural gifting will produce supernatural power. And supernatural power will release Jesus' love, which is the key fruit. Love is the key to all fruit. Love is the key to all fruit bearing. That's why don't try to test a false apostle or prophet by whether you see miracles occurring in relation to that ministry, because there are going to be demonic miracles. But test it by the love of God. By the way, the love commandment, the love chapter, it's 1 Corinthians 13, and it's between 12 and 14. And 12 and 14 are about supernatural gifts. And a lot of times, we get enamored with supernatural gifts. By the way, there will be supernatural gifts of God, of God. I mean, I've been reading about Heidi Baker in Mozambique, and I mentioned this before. I mean, they go out with children, with the poor. The poorest of the poor don't even have hardly clothes on their back, and they have nothing to eat. In fact, they go out, and God supernaturally creates food. One time, Heidi decided to invite several thousand people, and they only had enough food for, I don't know, 1,200 people. But they decided to go ahead with it, and everyone ate. Everyone that came ate. The teams they've raised something like 1,000 from the dead. I mean, God is moving in supernatural power. I don't mean that supernatural power is not there, but what is the key that impels that? Love. Laying down your life in love. In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It's not arrogant. It doesn't behave rudely. We have a rude, arrogant, mocking, in-your-face society. Our sports, our movies, our novels, everything is in your face. God hates it. He won't put up with it forever. If we don't repent, He will judge. Don't seek selfishly. Love is not provoked. Doesn't take account of evil. It doesn't take account of when people do evil things to you. You don't even write it down. You don't even write it down. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This kind of love. And I've quoted it twice already, but I'll quote it again. Galatians 5:22, perfect love is nine parts, but it's one fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. Control the self-life. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can control your self-life. You can't. That's why so many people are on drugs. They're trying to control their self-life. You can't, but the Holy Spirit can perfectly. Perfectly. In the Word, in the Word, in the Word. Obey the Word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything gives thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, sir, Lord. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely receive. Freely give. Yes, sir, Lord. Whatever He says, yes, sir, Lord. Don't complain. Do it. Here's where the military will help you. I got along wonderfully well when I was drafted in the military way, 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 way back in the ancient days of 1950s. Between 54 and 56, I said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Never talked back. Did everything immediately. Got along fine. got along fine, got promoted, got into the counterintelligence corps, wanted me to stay. I decided I didn't want to stay. But God wants to move. Now let's go to one last place for tonight. John 15. John 15. Because if we're going to, fruit is the key. Let's kind of summarize this. Fruit is the key. The key fruit is perfect love. So you must test people whether they love with Jesus' love, not the miracles. Although perfect love becomes a channel for gifts, and gifts become a channel for power, and power becomes a channel for miracles. That's true. But it is love. God has shown me this this week more than any time that I've ever taught. It is the fruit of love. It is the fruit of perfect love. It is the fruit of Jesus' love that is the key. Now, here's the last scripture we're going to use for tonight. And we'll pick this up then at this very point then next week. This is what Jesus says in John 15. Some of the most beautiful words, I think, of Jesus in the Scripture. And it is a key for you to dwell in perfect love. This is the fruit. By the way, if you go to the Paul's letters, he tells you, how do you test a bishop or a pastor, whether you should choose them or not? They have one wife, and they are obedient to that, and in that marriage relationship. And they control their children. They discipline their children. Perfect love operates in the marriage and in the family with the children. I mean, you are not walking in perfect love if your house is not in order. Husbands, love your wives. If you love them and lay your life down the way Jesus wants to, they'll want to not obey you in the sense of you crack the whip, do this. No. You treat them as queens. You love them. You provide. You do everything. You submit to each other. It isn't just submission of the wife. It's submitting to each other. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another. All of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, all your worries on him, for he cares for you. Quit worrying. Stop sinning if you're worrying. It's sinning. Quit worrying. Cast your cares on him. Praise God. Now I can start this. Verse 1 of chapter 15, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You must produce fruit. You must be one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one with his perfect love, and you'll begin to produce fruit, the fruit of love, and the fruit of love will release power and will release the glory of God and will release the supernatural gifts and the miracles of God. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are meant to bear fruit, but it is fruit from heaven. It is the fruit of perfect love. That is the key fruit. And if you don't have that fruit, if you don't have that perfect love that flows from you, you may not even be a Christian. John says in another place in 1 John that if you do not love with agape love, with God's love, and God's love is flowing through you, you're not a Christian. You're not only not just filled with the Spirit, you're not a Christian. People can say they're Christians, but that doesn't mean they are. And many people are deceived because it's the life of Christ, and the life of Christ brings the love of Christ, and you are constrained by the love, and you fall in love with Jesus, and you receive the love. You receive the love, and you give the love. You can't give what Jesus has unless you receive it. Freely receive, then free to give. free, receive his love, then give his love. You are already clean because of the Word of God. Jesus is the Word become flesh. He makes you clean. He makes you pure, which I have spoken to you. Abide, abide, abide in me and I in you. Here's a key. Here's a key to producing fruit and to produce the love of Jesus. You must abide, 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 abide. When Jesus heals you, I remember when he healed me from cancer, I just put my hand on my head as an illustration. Jesus laid his hand on me and he healed me miraculously. The only time in my life when I didn't receive medical treatment. But the Lord said, don't, they won't know how to treat it. And I was 6 years before I received the healing, but he laid his hand on me. And after the first year, he spoke to me that I was healed. My body was not yet healed, but I knew he had come. And he laid his hand on me, and I had to walk with his hand on me. You've got to walk your life with Jesus' hand on you. Jesus is not in the business of coming to you and saying, be healed or be, and then walking. Well, good luck now. Just do what you can do on your own. No. If you abide, to abide, this is in all these, or in 1 John, you've got to walk as Jesus walked. You've got to walk as Jesus walked. Walk taking the cross, emptying himself, making himself of no reputation. He had the greatest reputation in the world. He was the high king of the entire world, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, an eternal order of priesthood. He had every honor and glory, and he will have every honor and glory. But he walked taking the cross, emptying himself. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Stop it. You're doing something you know is sin. Stop it. Not as simple as it sounds. But you gotta use your will. Here it isn't emotion, it's your will. Most of the sins you commit, you know you're doing it. And yet you do it willfully. Stop sinning. Love others indeed in truth. Love others indeed in truth. Consider others here better than yourself. Guarantee you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Not a one of us without the Holy Spirit, without Jesus flowing in us, I consider BJ better than me, not unless the Holy Spirit's. Not unless the Holy Spirit's flowing. I can say I do, but unless the Holy Spirit's flowing, I don't. Keep his commandments. Yes, sir. Keep his commandments. Flow in the Holy Spirit, but particularly the fruit. Perfect love. And don't fear. Because if you fear, your love is not perfected. Perfect love casts out all fear. So if you were in fear, your love is not perfected. But he will perfect it. He will perfect it. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch into the root of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the branch produces fruit, tied into. By the way, Jesus says in another place, you can do nothing, 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 nothing without me, without being attached to my love and joy and peace. Unless this abides in you, and you in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You've got to abide in Jesus. I am in the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. That's how you tell. That's how you tell. The fruit of love. Love producing. Gifting. Power. And the things that God wants to do that you can't do so you can minister the way Jesus ministered. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dried up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. Finally, last word, last verse. If you abide in me, if's the biggest word in the Bible. If you abide in me, we just said what it means. If you abide in his perfect love, let it flow through you. And my words abide in you. In other words, you get the Word of God. And listen, there's all hell going to come against you when you get the Word of God in your heart. When I got the Word of God in my heart, and Jesus said, you are healed of this cancer, I jumped up, I danced, I praised God. In that study, right in there. And 5 more years before I actually was physically healed, but God wanted to know, did I believe? Was I able to abide? Was I able to remain? And praise God, because He prayed for me. Because Jesus prayed for me. Jesus gave me the faith. Jesus prayed for me. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. So you may turn again and strengthen your brothers. Praise God. This is what God wants. He wants you to abide in Him and His words in you. And perfect love will flow through you. And perfect love will produce power and love and glory. Will produce His fruit, all kinds of fruit. And you can bring people into the kingdom. You can win them to Christ. You can see them baptized in the Spirit. You can see them delivered from demon power. You can see them healed. You can see all that Jesus saw. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.